save others, let him save himself. If he is the chosen one, the Christ of God, even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Who's already been anointed by the prophet as Saul's successor, David, now it seems important. It seems important because as they come to greet David, did you hear what he said? We are bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Your ears tingle? That's why you talk about Adam. This is what the first man says when he meets a woman. He finally has one that's his, one like helpmate, a partner. It establishes kinship. They're recognizing him as theirs. We are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. They're claiming him as their king, which is not simply a political arrangement, but it establishes kinship. Kingship and kinship are intimately related. Because to agree to accept someone as your king is to agree to accept their rule over you, to accept their authority over you, to agree to obey their commands. Now, David, it's not turned out to be a perfect king. So I have been a rape and murder and cover up like most people in charge of this. So it turns out he's touched by the sinful world that we live in too. Fast forward to the passage in the gospel, where God shows us fundamentally, absolutely, what true kingship looks like. This doesn't look like a throne. And the crown he wears is meant to mock him, not exalt him. But here, bruised, beaten, naked, and dying on a tree, utterly passive, totally restrained. This is how God chooses to reign. One becomes king of the world by knocking other people down. He becomes king of the universe by being knocked down. One becomes king of the hill by ruling through fear and coercion. He rules by claiming hearts and minds, by stirring imaginations. He doesn't compel. He simply loves. This king looks different than all other kings. Lying there on the tree, they begin to mock him, their idol. Even those who should have known him, those who should have known who he was and been able to accept him. And he makes himself the king of thieves by promising them a place in paradise. See what happens? We're right to call Christ king, but it means a very different thing than we're accustomed. Our country, of course, was founded on the principle that kings are generally a pretty bad people. And it makes us very nervous around things that look both too kingly, which is why things in church that look too fussy make people nervous, which, if I'm honest, is part of the reason I do it. Because I like making people nervous. When our country was founded, we deliberately turned attention from the king to the nation itself. The great hymn to the king that the English would sing, God save our gracious king, becomes my country is of thee. The country itself, the republic, takes the place of the king. This is a little weird. It's no wonder then that we live in that republic, times get confused about where our allegiances should lie. And why it's hard sometimes to tell whether we're Catholics or Christians first or Americans. But of course, the claim that Christ is making on our hearts and minds is prior to any nation, is prior to any citizenship. It's the only thing that will make sense of a nation or a citizenship. It's the only way for a nation to govern its citizens well. This is also true in our home. Christ longs to be king, not just of the universe and the I'm with is a moral decision. What happens in my bedroom is a moral decision. But not because God's playing a game of gotcha, but because he simply wants what's best for you. And he knows what's best for you because he made you. The Lord Jesus wants to be king of your heart. Not to coerce, not to compel, but simply to claim, through love, everything that is you, and to bring out all that is good and right and holy and just, all the potential that makes you everything you could be. He longs to make your heart like his. Remember the old prayer to the Sacred Heart, Jesus, make an humble heart, make our hearts like unto thine. That is a dangerous prayer. Do not say it unless you mean it. Because the heart of a king has to be brave, has to be tender, and has to be broken. It has to be brave because it means standing up for the truth, even when it's awkward or uncomfortable, even when it makes costs and claims on our life. It has to be tender because it has to be willing to hurt suffering of others, to be moved by people's fright, both because of the bad things that happen to them and because of the bad things that they do. It has to be willing to be broken because Christ reigns most perfectly on the cross when his body is broken, his side of the heart is pierced, and everything he has gushes forth for the life of the world. There's a beautiful statue at the Jesuit Retreat House over in Griswold. It's of our Lord seated at table. There is a chalice on the table, and over it he is draping a host, just like the priest at Mass. The host is shaped like a heart. The question you have to ask yourself today is, if I'm willing to claim Jesus as my king, which is clearly the point here, but if I'm willing to claim Jesus as my king, am I willing to have my heart broken? Am I willing to allow myself to be knocked out the top of the heap? Because the kingship that I claim isn't of this world. Am I willing to have my face ground in the dust, just a little, so that I might remember who's really in charge? It's not me. Am I willing, when I hear the words, which change everything, to allow myself to change? So today, as I break that body and pour out that blood, you be willing to do the same.